This confrontation can cancel your career.
Canceled.
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 Cancel
Culture
Podcast.
Welcome back to Cancel Culture, the podcast writers room where a diverse group of Gen Z female comedy writers create a funny, unoffensive joke about a topic that most might consider a no-fly zone in comedy, that even an old, cis, white man can tell, aka my dad, without getting canceled. Today's topic, jokes about poverty. That's right. We're going to write jokes about poverty that a white man, and a non-impoverished white man, I should say, currently, without sounding like an asshole.
I'm emotionally impoverished.
To show that it's possible.
I'm skeptical.
That one was chaotic.
This one's weak. That was weak.
I love the chaos.
Okay.
I think it's going to be great.
Unimpoverished killed me, though.
But before we jump in, can I ask a question?
Okay, yeah.
Can we introduce ourselves first or no?
I want to hear his question.
Do you carry money around to give to poor people on the street?
Like cash money?
No, Bitcoin.
Sometimes
people take Venmo, and B, sometimes I like buy food with a credit card for.
Have you ever seen someone give a homeless person? We did a homeless episode, but have you ever seen a homeless person take Venmo?
Well, yes. Like once or twice.
Yes.
Have you?
I've given people money for the train in New Haven.
It's New York. People have phones and Venmo.
I've not seen that happen.
I used to carry around cash when I worked in the service industry, and I would get cash tips. The cash tips just always stayed in my bag to give out.
I don't know how much guilt to feel. I walked by a homeless person sleeping on the sidewalk as I was walking our dog today, and I don't carry cash. But had I carried cash, I don't know that I would have given him any. And I don't know how guilty to feel every time I pass a homeless person on the street when I don't have food or cash. Yeah.
Giving them a little cash on the road is actually like not going to solve the problem. If you have it to give and you have it in your heart to give, amazing. But like, this is a so much larger systemic issue that like, cool, you gave them $10, but like they're still sleeping.
I hear that, and yet it doesn't seem to necessarily improve when I give money to other places.
And then
places.
It's like, if we all feel that way. Then maybe if we all gave the ten.
I've been poor most of my life, so I don't really have guilt, and I rarely have money to actually give away. So I guess I just don't experience this problem. But if you feel in your heart that you're helping someone, you should go for it. If you have
guilt is a very first world problem.
I think we should introduce ourselves, and then I think we should talk about why this episode is different from the homelessness episode.
Okay.
Because we solved homelessness in the homeless.
Because we solved homelessness already.
That's done.
So you actually can stop feeling guilty because homelessness is over.
So I didn't know I was poor until I went to Yale. And Yale has a different scale of wealth because nobody ever thinks they're wealthy because there's always somebody, you know, with more homes than them. But the way that they went about it is like, if you have like less than enough growing up, just enough growing up, more than enough growing up, or like way more than enough, or I forget how they phrased it. In a little pretty fluffy way. And they had everybody like stand up in that category, and like we all cheered because it was like a diversity something where you like all cheer for each category. And you know, we went through race, we went through gender identity, and we went through blah 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 because Yale's an inclusive like woke bubble. And when we got to this, I stood up, I was like, I think we had just enough. Yeah, I'm gonna stand up. And I was like one of like five people. I was like, oh, word? Okay. And then like they cheered so loudly for like the way more than enough, never thought about it. And
my God.
Yeah, I didn't know summer was a verb before I went to Yale. Like, I didn't know that.
That's the greatest thing you've ever said.
It is great.
The most uncomfortable thing is to be like, no, I cannot go to this dinner for the fourth time this week at Barcelona. Like, I can go once a month. No, I cannot buy $700 plane tickets to Cabo and go with you for spring break, because like that's just not happening. But I mean, like, I was also paying my way through school, so like
you personally
most of the time like
wow
like things that I was worried about and thinking about, like my peers didn't even know were a thing. Yeah. Like I remember having an argument with a friend about credit scores, because she's like, I don't have a credit score. And I'm like, you've had your parents' credit card since you were 14. Like you have credit history. You have a great credit score because they're paying it off. And she's like, that's not true. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not wealthy. We're just comfortable. Blah, blah. I'm like, girl, you didn't even know what a credit score was 2 hours ago. So get out of my face. Don't even talk to me about it. But it's just different. Cause like Yale is like very wealthy, like senators' children.
It's crazy.
And Lorne Michaels' kid. Like,
I think you learn that at all private schools. Well, okay. We'll continue introducing yourselves and then we'll further converse. Thank you. Oh, wow.
We'll talk.
I am Jamie. And I was just going to say that I went to Comic-Con yesterday for the first time in my adult life. I think I went once to see something you did, Evan, Dad, but I don't remember. I don't remember what it looked like. I just remember going to that one panel or event. But so I went to Comic-Con and I was just like, oh my God, it was so crazy walking into that building and just seeing the amount of money that was spent. But both
I was wondering where poverty fit in.
Both right now, to create this event and also the amount of money that people were spending there. Like it was, I saw people drop like $30,000 in 5 minutes.
On nerd shit?
Yeah, you could call it that. On nerd shit. But like, listen,
by the way, nerd shit, top 10 movies of all time. So go ahead.
No, but it was just like really jarring. And like, I was thinking about how we were going to shoot this episode today. And I was like, if people like bought, like if each person here bought like one less Funko Pop today, they could solve poverty.
One less Funko Pop. What the What's fuck Funko is Pop?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Well, I'll show Funko you. Pop? Hold on.
Did you buy one, Jamie?
I did Hold buy on. One.
She bought one. Right. Meanwhile, let's
okay. with my own. Me,
but she was with, texting okay. me from Comic-Con on whether
Don't
or not
say to this. Don't say this. Don't say this
on an original sketch of SpongeBob SquarePants. So. Okay. She's like 212.
Okay, so you're unimpoverished as well. So
yeah, I think it's good for us. Like,
I was never claiming that I was. Yeah. I was never claiming that I was. That was never something that said. I was just shocked.
Show us what the fuck okay, this thing is that you spent hundreds of dollars on.
First of all, this was $5. This was $5 for the record.
$5.
Could feed a family of five.
This is a Funko Pop.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
You've seen Avatar? It's Azula.
Oh, Azula.
My bullying tendencies are coming out. I'm telling you, I want to.
It's okay. You can bully me. I am a huge Avatar fan.
Azula?
Okay, she's a AI.
Huge Avatar fan?
What is
Azula?
Oh, the Avatar, the Airbender.
Like Avatar, The Last Airbender, not the blue.
Oh, yeah.
Not Avatar, the movie.
Yeah,
right?
Not the James Cameron.
I like the moon bullshit. I like how they fuck with their tails.
Always,
you're talking about the James
it's
Cameron.
Always coming back to that.
It's all coming back.
Fucking with tails.
No, this is the Avatar The Last Airbender, the Nickelodeon show from way back when. Azula is a gay icon that I like her. She becomes
back
unhinged at the end.
Land the ship.
Anyway, sorry. I was just shocked by how much money people were spending at this thing. And like people were like buying bags of these things, like huge bags, and then walking, like it was just jarring, and it was kind of disheartening. I was like, there's so much shit going on in the world right now, and we're spending there was probably like I'm willing to bet there were billions of dollars spent over the course of the last 5 days at Comic-Con. It was crazy. Anyway, great.
My dad was mugged this week. That's my money related comment. Not necessarily poverty related. This was in London, but I'm just, he got mugged of £800 because he carries around a fat.
He weighs
800
pounds?
No.
Oh, got it. No. He had 800.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
He had
what?
800 pounds because my dad's like, he reminds
that's 800.
Like,
that's like $800. Because they're exactly
Don't rub it in, okay? Thank you so much for that. Good. Yeah, remind me. yeah, no, my dad definitely still has like a sort of wartime mentality. Like he wasn't there in the Holocaust, but I feel like he exists.
How old
like
is your
he
dad?
Was 65, but his dad was like super like, don't know, just there's like a warish element to him, you know? And I just feel like he carries around a bunch of cash because he just has that sort of like,
sure.
You gotta be ready to run.
Gotta be ready to run. Ooh, that's, yeah, and he's done it for years, and we've always warned him, like, don't do this. Like, why would you carry so much all the time? And then he got mugged by a 15-year-old girl, we believe. She looks like a child. There's footage and two men, and they bear hugged him from behind, and then the little girl, little bitch in Uggs, swiped straight from his pocket.
I gotta say,
whoever calling her a bitch in Uggs.
It's like Les Mis.
I gotta say, if I saw that hot water cash, I would have grabbed my bros too and been like, hold him. Hold him down.
Was he flashing the cash?
Was it a strip joint? I'm sorry, but like also if you saw a picture of Sarah's dad, it would make it a little bit more heartbreaking.
He's really sweet looking.
He's a sweet looking old man.
And frail seeming in some ways. And absolutely gorgeous face for the films. I've always said it.
Does he have a pre-snez?
What's that?
It was those little tiny glasses that they wear on the tip of their nose.
No, but he could.
He very well could.
He may as well be.
Oh, the sweet man. Well, I hope they spent that money well. Good
me
luck,
too.
Fuckers.
And it's all good, but he was upset.
Yeah. I would be too. I'm actually a little traumatized
hearing about it.
Yeah. Aw.
Okay. So you're showing.
Wait,
me.
So Paul is a stalker.
I thought that was actually a comment about wealth because he just showed a picture of me and Westlake.
Go back.
I felt like that was a kind of.
None of us know what Westlake is well enough to judge.
I
want to
see that. What is Westlake?
Can you zoom in?
It's just like a bougie off face of California. That's my dad.
Okay, you look hot though.
Yeah, you look so hot.
You're serving. Why have I never seen this outfit?
What do you do for a living?
He sells binoculars, everyone. He's a binocular kingpin.
Oh,
Fuck out of here.
I'm not kidding. I'm a binocular heiress. That's not a joke.
Oh, that is the most specific thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's so funny.
Does he own his own this man?
No, you wouldn't, Paul.
Does he make binoculars?
He has like a factory in Hong Kong or something.
I just don't
believe
that
lying through my teeth. It's not in Hong Kong, but
they look particularly moneyed.
Me and my father?
In that setting, yes.
Look but at also, your face there, I just can't believe that there's enough people in the world buying binoculars for your dad to sell property.
I don't think he makes any money from the binocular side of things. That's just usually how it is.
That's just his front. That's not his hobby, that's his front. My that's where he launders the money.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
That is bougie right there.
But he does work in like a really old sort of decrepit binocular shop. Like if you want to find him, you'll find him.
So
in
he's
a
in
dusty...
Kingsman, well, and that's
yeah,
the
like,
front.
Yes.
In the back,
like
there's
Don
like a little
Corleone
curtain.
Your dad makes
a Skylab. And lastly, and certainly leastly, Evan, who kind of grew up a little poor. I don't know.
I'm not. I grew up.
This is really. Oh,
that's not true. I grew up in a single mom household, and my mom was a teacher who had to learn how to retrain herself. So we did not have a shit ton of money, and we were definitely one of the poorer families.
Which bracket would you have stood up
in Cherry Hill,
at Yale,
New Jersey?
Yeah, would you have been just enough, less than enough, more than enough?
Just enough, I would say.
Okay, that's what I would say.
And only because my grandparents really helped out, and neither of my grandparents went to college. My grandfather owned a service station and started working when he was 13, and so I grew
we're
up very
humanizing
privileged.
The villain, guys.
Yeah, she suddenly like,
I grew up very, very privileged. Don't get me wrong, just because that's what you do to Jewish firstborn men. And then my mom actually learned how to earn a living for herself and did very well for herself and saved every fucking penny she ever made, not under her mattress like your father, Sarah, but in a bank account. And
the one thing I would turn this around today.
I dropped a piece today about how the image of privilege and poverty in the United States and in the Western world really gets shaped. And if you think about this, 60% of America doesn't go to college.
Yeah.
Of the people who go to college, One half of 1% get to go to an Ivy League school, right? One half of 1% of all college students, which is far less. It's only in the 40% of people who get to go to college. The people who dictate what we see on TV and hear and see on movie screens and hear on the radio or on podcasts are 28% Ivy Leaguers, 56 times the average of the U.S. college.
And we are not defying those stereotypes on this pod. Right, we got an Ivy.
Well, I'm a college dropout, but
so do you guys cancel each other out?
I guess so. But the point is like, so when you think about how poverty and income and economic inequality, the great distance between the young woman in Uggs who robbed your dad and the poorest Americans in Mississippi who don't have clean drinking water right now, and those at Harvard and Yale, you know, think about how it's portrayed because it's shot through the lens of this enormous generational privilege, because we all hire our friends and family and nieces and nephews and fraternity brothers and sisters. And so that's why we have,
so it's kind of fitting that we're doing Substack. If you want to
subscribe to my Substack.
All right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate your TED Talk.
Self-promo. That was good. You know what? Okay. So I think we'll jump into the episode. Before we do, he kind of already outlined it, but I feel like when people think about poverty, they just like immediately they're like homeless people, and there are just so many different faces to poverty and so many different circumstances in which poverty is present. Mm-hmm. So we figured that it would be good to look at some. Yeah, no, he never figures anything out. Let's take a look at this is a clip about Andy Haynes. And despite what I just said, he is talking about homeless people.
One thing I don't like about being broke is I don't like public transportation. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know why? They let the public on that thing. And that means everybody. That means all sorts of people. And I mainly mean homeless people. That's what I'm talking about. And I hear you guys tighten up because you're all liberal voters and you went to Whole Foods and you recycle your bags or whatever. We don't like homeless people, all right? We care about them. We feel bad for them. But we don't like them. We're never excited to see a homeless person like, oh, Boots is here to make the room smell different. Get in here, buddy. I got some cans I've been saving. Why are you on the subway? Like, I should be on the subway. I'm going to work. You should be on one of those crank carts from a Looney Tunes. Stack of squirrels helping you on an adventure. I told all my friends in New York that I was going to move to L.A. I used to live in New York. I moved to L.A. And I told them all, and they're like, Andy, you don't want to move to L.A. If you move to L.A., you'll have to drive. I'm like, yeah. I love driving. Driving is great. Like, and I'm an environmentally conscious person, but after 4 years on the New York subway, I would drive a Hummer powered on Native American tears, all right?
I struggle with this one because I do think it's kind of funny. And like, I think my feelings about it are, I think that it's a well-written joke. I think he has some good stuff in there. I think I'm just kind of tired of like cartoon homeless people. Like, I'm just like exhausted by like, I just think, A, it's been done, but B, I think like it's just old. It's just like enough like cartoon homeless people, enough like troping them. Like it's too serious and sad at this point where it's like you can make jokes about homelessness, but and like poverty.
We did it, but I just don't
think that like we need to keep making them cartoon people, you know?
Yeah, dehumanizing poor people, not a good look.
Well, and he opened with a really good line of humor where if he had stuck there, probably would have made the entire room feel more uncomfortable and gotten more laughs in the payoff, which is, hey, liberals.
Yeah, right.
You say at you care at Whole Foods. About,
exactly.
Right. And he stay. I thought that's where he
that was
going.
A good joke. The that like been, we care about a, but them, but we don't like them.
In that. You know what I mean? There's just much. We saw a really good, I think, Aussie do some stuff about that in the homeless episode. But that is true. I am guilty of it. And I feel like that is the kind of humor that more comedians should be doing, which is right at their audiences who walked past a homeless person into the comedy show that night and then bought a $11 drink.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I think if you can take the thing that makes people uncomfortable and the thing that they like are uncomfortable with about themselves and make them laugh at it, that's like a really smart and unique thing to do. And if he, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Also, I like this thread of public transportation, because if it's one thing public transportation is not, is it's not accessible. So like,
speak more on that, Elena.
Okay, guys, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have some beef with the fucking MTA for stealing my money and refusing to give it back and making me pay more. $3 a swipe, first of all, sick.
Tell the people what happened. Elena.
Okay, people, let me tell you. I filed formal complaints. I chewed out 3 people on the phone. So through my job, I have this like third party thing where they like pull money out every month for my Metro card. Well, it's through WageWorks, but yes, it's the same thing. So anyway, I don't know if you know this, I moved. I had to move.
Yes.
Which means my address changed. And, you know, I verified several times that the address was changed, but nope, they mailed it to the old address. It never showed up to the old address. And guess what? It never showed up to the new address. That's a lot of money. So when I called, they were like, oh, we don't send out new cards. You'll just have to buy a new one. I said, what? No, I already bought one. I already bought a card. Where is it?
For $127.
Yeah, $127. So I need to buy another one for $127. Sick.
This might turn into just an MTA hate group. they never replied, by the way. I tweeted at them about Elena's situation, and then they replied, and then I like followed up. Because they were like, to be clear, you lost the card. And I was like, no, to be clear, you lost the card. And then they stopped responding.
Hit me on the chain. I'm usually good about getting
the MTA is like a huge issue. I mean, this comedian like talked about not liking public transportation, but like the fact that like transportation is expensive is so fucked up. Like anybody should be allowed to get from point A to point B without having to like spend $3.
But now they do that nice thing where it's 13 a week and then it's free, which is so sweet of them. Right?
Yeah, Sarah. Yeah, good point.
I think we would care less about the transportation being paid for if medical care, healthcare were cared for and education was cared for.
I think should also be a public good. They all should be free.
100%.
None of them should be paid for.
But how do you get to the hospital if you're in pay for an $80 Uber and $1,000 ambulance rise?
I understand, but everywhere in the world people have to pay to get to work. So I don't know.
Not in LA. It's free in LA.
Have you ever taken the bus to work in LA?
That's true.
It's free, but it's 4.5 hours, you know, to and from.
Okay, yeah, that part is a little frustrating.
So, you know, public transportation, even though it is expensive, it's less expensive than gasoline for a lot of people who have to drive and don't have a choice about it. But if we didn't have to pay for healthcare and education and childcare and food for our kids, then those things, then I think the transportation thing would be a little less of an issue. Anyway,
also to get to work to make your teeny, you know, $20 an hour, you're spending $6 a day at least. That's crazy.
That's how generational poverty gets created. Is we continually create these expenses, taxes.
Yep.
Called the criminal justice system, or bad schooling, or bad roads, or poor public transportation, to make it harder to elevate from one economic class to the next. It's almost impossible.
We make it impossible for people to change those systems because they have no access to the voting system, because they make it, you have to have IDs that people can't afford or can't get access to, or you can't get to the voting location, the damn poll.
Yeah,
because they have work or children, and childcare is expensive, and it's like a cycle of
it's
very intentional.
Well,
it is a cycle.
Thank
it's
you for
like
coming
one.
To our TED Talk.
Our TED Talk
and
about
we're solving poverty today in this episode
today,
starting with the MTA.
So let's get back into the topic. Well, we never left the topic. We're talking about poverty, but let's talk about comedy again. And now let's look at an ad from our sponsors that give us no money. So here you go.
You've tried Postmates and TaskRabbit, but they don't meet your every need. For the customer who's looking for an elevated experience, a service that takes on even the most intimate tasks, something that tells people around you you have money to burn. We bring you Wealth Watchers, the only subscription that requires you to prove your wealth for membership. Show us your real tax returns and we'll show you the world. You're too rich to waste time brushing your own teeth or taking out the trash. With our elite subscription, you gain access to highly vetted and equally as desperate broke college students who will tend to your every need for pennies on the dollar. Need to be rolled over in your bed at 4 a.m.? No problem. Our attendants can't wait to wipe your rich behind. Don't wait to join Wealth Watchers. Prove your wealth today. Simply Google Hamptons, Botox, and Elon Musk right in a row, and you'll automatically be subscribed. Wealth Watchers, we can't wait to wait on you.
Here's a joke that is maybe more positive. And it's about poverty, and the comic's name is Michael Jr. And here we go. Roll clip.
We ain't had no money, man. We had to, my parents would buy us some stuff, but they couldn't pay for everything. Like, we had the game Operation, right? We ain't had no batteries. Then my cousin came over, and he figured out a way how to plug it into the wall, right? It's a whole nother game now.
A short little one. That one's just a short little one.
That's
I just
like it.
I like it.
Look, think it's good.
Everyone's always talking about if we give people money and security, we'll lose innovation. Nah, these kids have the most innovation ever. They figured that shit out. They said, we're going to play our game. Let me show you. Yeah. We don't need batteries.
The creativity comes from lack of resources, you know?
Thriftiness. That's why people that thrift their clothes often have more of a unique sense of style versus just cruising into any shop these days, correct?
Sure, yeah.
I actually choked on my water.
I'm trying to speak about this topic.
I enjoyed that take. For sure. Listen, NYU, like, people, I think the issue is that then the rich kids start going thrifting and steal all the clothes.
Well, I thought that was the joke.
And then exactly.
They're not really.
It will cost $100 to $200.
Yeah, and they're dressed the same. They all dress like the history majors with their Doc Martens and their flowy top and linen pants.
I was listening to a costume designer talk about costuming New York. And like doing New York shows, and she was like, yeah, it's like fun because you walk around the city and you like know what area people are from. You're you're from Soho. You're not. Okay.
Right now there's something called like a homeless chic, which is fucked. Like, but that is literally a thing. It's where like people are paying lot of money. Hobo chic, sorry, yeah. Where it's like the point is that the garments are like collapsing on your body and like all holy and falling apart, and like people are paying big smackaroonies.
Well, this is a huge issue in fast fashion, where it was like all of these designer brands, right? Like even like Balenciaga is out here just like tying shirts to shirts and like making it stylish, but and then you see people try to copy it, and then they go thrifting to like actually like cheap thrift stores and take all these clothes even though they can afford more expensive. There's a whole movement about ethical thrifting.
Again, I say innovation. When you have wealth, you have no innovation. Sorry. You're just stealing it from the hobos.
No, true.
I don't know. Wait, that's like to say hobos.
No.
I don't think so.
I wanted to say that like part of the other issue with fashion too is that all of these brands that used to be affordable and accessible, like even like Adidas and like Puma and Nike, like used to be
champion.
Like affordable, like champion.
Yeah, I got bullied for wearing them.
But now, Reebok.
Now it's high fashion.
But now because fashion and like high fashion has taken over all those brands and they've become like high fashion lines, the stuff that people wear is like so, it's so hard to provide. I don't know. Anyway, that's my spiel. Okay, next. Here's a clip from Felipe Esparza.
Growing up, I didn't know I was poor. I didn't know how poor I was till they transferred me to another school. And me and my friends were the only ones in that school standing in line for free lunch. And I was out of breath. I ran for nothing. Never first. We didn't know we were poor. We felt sorry for those kids. Hey, that's sad how they all have to pay. Fucking losers.
He's funny. He's charming. He's smart. We're in love. But I just remind when we were talking about when you were talking about like not knowing that you were poor until you went to Yale, Elena, that clip reminded me of that.
Just enough. Yeah.
Well, yes, but yeah.
My parents were hustlers, but yeah, I hear you. It always cracks me up because you don't really know. You have no perspective until you're in a new space. And then that's funny because he said, losers, you gotta pay for your lunch.
It is weird, yeah. Though the like I lived across the hall from a like I know she used it jokingly before Sarah, but like an actual heiress. That was the first time where I was like, oh, there's yeah, no like one... there's like next level wealth.
There are levels.
I gotta tell you, I think NYU, I mean, it's probably not up to the Ivies, but around the rest of the university set, it is, that's a rich set of kids, man.
Well, yes, yeah, NYU, I swear, shit. Is the most expensive.
And global like, wealth, too.
Freshman year, Russian... I also went to a Halloween party at this kid's house who... his dad or his mom, I don't know which one did which, but one of them was like a VP at Goldman Sachs and the other was like an editor in chief of Vogue. And he like, they had bought him a penthouse apartment on Park Avenue. Like it wasn't their home. It was like his apartment on Park Avenue. And I was just like, whoa, like that's not something that I've ever concept. Like, listen, again, did not want for anything growing up. So like definitely like would have said if I had to stand up at Yale, I would have said like the more than enough, like not complaining at all. But it was just crazy. Like,
yeah,
because I still did go to like a relatively public school that was like not super racially diverse, but super socioeconomically diverse.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like that's true, it was free. Right. It was free. So like I didn't realize. Yeah. I didn't realize that like. People could own islands. Like I thought that was just something that like happened on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we have to write a joke now. So let's send Evan away.
So honestly, prompts. this is the episode I get canceled for. My cousins come out the woods.
We say that it's a college. We say that every episode though.
I love the idea of making fun of liberals for walking past. Or like turning a blind eye to poverty. I also think it could be funny to be like, you know, you're poor when, and describe like ostentatious wealth.
Shot these cartons.
But the wealth is next to like even more ostentatious wealth. Like, you know, you're poor when your uncle doesn't have a private jet to take you on vacation. Like, you know, you're poor when you have to go to the untrendy thrift shop to buy your new trash bag. Like, you know, I think it's so funny and just how absurd it is, like the brackets of wealth.
I think the other thing about what we were talking about that could be funny is like the lack of originality in rich people versus the innovation of people who don't have money.
Have access. Yeah. How would we?
Also
write
trying to think of things
Evan.
That my dad could tell. Yeah, like
yeah.
Maybe about his the first times because I do know I do know a few things that could be funny to draw on. One, like the idea that he had like never had sushi until he met my mom. He had never like eaten an artichoke until he met my mom. So like things like that like could be funny to like include like. When you grow up with just enough, and then you enter into these worlds of like.
Way more than exuberant,
like, or that's not the right word, exorbitant. Well,
no, I love this, that's so funny.
Okay. I'm gonna try to write something.
Wow, I just feel like Evan and I are kindred spirits, you know, the just enough clan. And when I win my Emmy, I'll bring it up in my speech that my mentor Evan showed me the path to the American dream.
Don't think a white man in your speech.
I'm kidding.
I think Evan has to go, so we have to bring him back.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Maybe you'll have some thoughts on this.
Maybe. Let me try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine told me recently about these categories of wealth as a young person? Does your family have less than enough, just enough, more than enough, way more than enough, or never thought about it enough? I grew up with a single mom, and I would say we had maybe just a tad more than just enough. Now, I was still a white dude, and my grandparents helped out a lot. So we had a lot of the privileges working for me as I was a kid, but we did not have money to burn. I didn't realize perhaps how little money my family had until I moved into this town called Cherry Hill, and I started eating with people who had money. People with money eat weird things. I remember the first time I had sushi. I was on a date with a girl, and she put raw fish in front of me. And honestly, I thought she was breaking up with me. She was just trying to go out with a bang on homicide charges. I'd exclusively had overcooked stuff that I made myself in the microwave because my mom worked. And now I'm eating raw tuna? Ridiculous. Then there's artichokes. Have you ever had an artichoke? Have you ever seen an artichoke? Here's a plant that you have to gnaw your way through, avoiding pointy leaves to get to the center of. Be careful of the toxic part because that's poisonous. That's what toxic means. Get around that and you get to the heart. It's like this multi-level Nintendo game. So yes, eating rich people's food taught me a lot about where I was in the world. And I also learned that it's a little bit dangerous.
Cute. A cute little joke.
Very true. Very, very true. Very
accurate.
True
to life.
Very, yes. True to life. Extremely.
No, these are things that I remember you telling me that you had.
I had the most exotic thing I had before I became an adult to eat was hot pocket that had pepperoni in it.
I loved those hot pockets.
Hot pockets are so good.
We had a lot of breakfast for dinner when I was a kid. We had a lot of breakfast for dinner. Because my dad was a teacher, and like
that's I love breakfast for dinner.
Some pancakes and eggs.
Yeah, I had a lot of cereal.
I had so much cereal for dinner.
I was a latchkey kid. I was the generation of humans that the phrase latchkey kid was invented for.
If you think that we've done a good job, which God, who are you that you think that at this point?
No, we're hilarious.
Good luck.
Please write to us at cancel culture. @CancelCulture_pod on Instagram. You can find our tickets. You can find what we're doing and everything there. And
go
until
Phillies.
Next time, this has been Cancel Culture.
Cancel
Culture
Podcast.